Voices Radio Network.
Welcome to Strength Depositions, a podcast covering all facets of being strong and getting stronger. Brought to you from the world-famous Strength Depot Gym in Plymouth, Michigan, and hosted by Chuck Zarowski.
Survived the worst, but my life is glorious. Better know that I leap that be hurdle, and I'm so victorious. Take a look, I'm a symbol of greatness. Now you can call me Morpheus. As for securing the win, but to believe I'm so notorious. You know that I've been by my bread, even though we rapping now. We used to live on the strip, even though you see me higher level trapping now. I superseded every one of my little struggles, and failure has never ever been an option. Trust. You see my paper long like rush hour traffic, and I'm about to take a hood shop and get it.
Together we made it.
You see, we did it.
We made it even though we had our backs up against the wall.
Come on.
Forever we waited. And they told us we were never gonna get it.
Hi guys, welcome to the second episode of Strength Depositions Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Chuck Zarowski. I'm sitting here with Shane Rickman, the owner of Strength Depot in Plymouth, Michigan. I'm sitting here with Jen Prient. How do you say it, Jen?
Prinitz,
who's a strong woman competitor. I'm here with Mike Folks, who's a power lifter, and he's been, you heard him on the last episode. And I'm here with Greg Preen, who is now doing strongman. I'm sorry, he's now doing powerlifting, and he's coming from the Highland Games. So, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Very good.
Good.
Everybody doing well? Shane, thanks for letting us hang out at your gym again. We appreciate it.
Always. This seems to be the one place we can all get together and make time to find time to meet each other. So, love it. Love having everybody here.
Absolutely. Greg, how long have you been over here?
I've been with Shane since the very first gym opened up.
What year was that?
2015.
Yeah. Okay. Where did you come from before you trained at Strength Depot?
I trained at a couple different places. I live out in Milford.
Okay.
And
wow, that's quite a hike.
It is. I trained out there at YMCA for a long time.
Okay.
And there was a powerhouse gym out there, and then it recently changed hands into another different gym. But I trained there prior to coming here.
Okay. So, what are the difference? Do you like when you were training at the Y? Were people looking at you like, oh
yeah,
my God?
Yeah. It was not the same. I was like, you know. And here I'm small potatoes, but at the Y, you know, apparently it's a little different. You know, you have every teenager in there asking you what you're on or what you're doing. It's like, you know, I'm just in here training, guys.
It's always funny, like, you know, like in gyms like this, I always find out, like, you find, like, you are not the strongest person in the planet.
Oh, yeah.
When you're at a powerhouse, an LA Fitness or whatever, you think, like, you're the person, you know, you're people are always coming up to you. And then you come over here and you're like, you almost like Urkel. Hi, guys, you know?
Yeah.
So, Jen, welcome back. Jen just came in from Wisconsin. So she comes in at least once a month to train here at Strength Depot. How you doing, Jen?
I'm doing great.
What brought you in over here for the Memorial Day?
Oh, it's a long weekend, so it's the best time to come.
How long are you in town for?
I'll go home. I'll probably drive straight to work and get there in time for Tuesday morning. I want to be here as long as I can. So.
Well, welcome. We're glad you're here. And my other co-host, Mike. How you doing, Mike?
I'm great, you?
Doing good, man. I'm doing good. You got to work tonight, don't you?
Unfortunately.
What do you do again?
I work at Ford, just a factory rat.
No such thing as just a factory rat. Well, welcome back. Hey, guys, we're going to be talking about, like, this episode of Strength Depositions. We're going to be talking about the differences between strongman versus powerlifting. You hear all about strength sports, and you hear, like, this is predominantly a powerlifting strongman gym. Well, I'd say strongman more than powerlifting gym because of Shane. Shane, what brought you into strongman?
I was actually training for powerlifting when I found strongman. I was at Detroit Barbell, and I just... I'm going to sound like I'm hating on powerlifting, which I'm not. I'm actually a pretty decent fan of a lot of the guys, but I was at Detroit Barbell training with some of those guys, and they had one Atlas stone that was there, and I picked it up and loaded it just because, you know, like many people, you grew up seeing it on TV and watching it going, man, I really want to do that. And picked it up, loaded it on the platform, and John Zeman, one of the owners of barbell came up to me, and I'd told this story before, but came up to me and said, "Did you just load that stone?" And I thought he was yelling at me for screwing around at his gym. And he said, "There's only one other guy in here that can load that stone." It ended up being a 300 or 315-pound stone, and he got me in touch with Dean Nassenbin, and Dean and I got together and started training, and it was the variety of the training for me. Someone with ADHD, so the variety in the training was more suitable for me.
So, Jen, you train strong women too, right?
I do. I started just last July, though.
Okay. So tell me about, like, what got you into strong women.
Well, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, I was training sort of powerlifting style. I didn't compete. I've only been training for a few years. And
did you do bodybuilding before, or what did you do before? Just strictly strength?
Well, before I stepped foot in a gym a few years ago, nothing.
Okay.
we say that in disbelief because Jen is absolutely shredded. So
shredded.
I just took to it. I think I like it a lot. So.
I think that's understated. That's an understatement. You look amazing.
Oh, thank you.
So, what brought you into training strong women? I mean, it's kind of like atypical of a female because you don't see it a lot. You see it now; it's becoming more and more prevalent. But what led you to do strong women?
So my training partners back home are actually, a couple of them are pro strongmen. So but during the week, like, we'll train powerlifting style and then they'll do strongman events on a weekend. So I would train with them during the week at the gym and was always kind of fascinated. So I would go to competitions, I would go watch them compete, watched YouTube videos and whatever, learn the history of it. And it was just always really fascinating. And I just love that. I love seeing people push themselves to what, their own mental limits, the limits of their bodies and things like that. It's always just it's fascinating. And I never thought I could be good at it or anything. And then, last summer, one of my training partners said, he's like, "Jen, pick a competition. I don't care what you do." He's like, "You're going to pick something or I'm going to pick it for you." So I'm like, "All right, I want to do strongman." So I picked one that was like 4 weeks away and started training for it. And,
4 weeks away.
Yes. It's kind of, you sense a theme here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because the last one I did, I only did a 2 week prep. So. Anyway, so 4 weeks and then came and did it. I came in second.
Your first competition, you trained for 4 weeks and you came in second.
Yes.
Okay.
And it pissed me off. Well, during the competition, I was nervous and whatever, so I didn't really want to know how I was doing because I thought that would just kind of freak me out a little bit more. But like afterwards, when I found out how close it was, I was really mad at myself. So it's good. It kept me going. So then I picked another one for a few months later. So it just keeps my interest because, like Shane was saying, there's such a variety, and they're all. I don't believe in like the term functional fitness or whatever like that, but they are really. They are pretty much functional movements,
People like to throw terms around, and that seems to be the term this year, is functional fitness or functional strength. And I mean, it's just strength that you apply. I mean, that's basically what it is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and to me, it's more like powerlifting. That's great. Nothing, like Shane said, no disrespect, nothing against. I mean, obviously they work hard and they're strong, but it's it's three lifts and. Yep. I like being strong, but I also like being, I like the variety, like Shane said. It keeps me interested, and it's frustrating, You're not going to be great at every event, but it keeps me pushing.
Shane, what did you just say powerlifting, or I'm sorry, strongman was?
It's referred to as labor for sport. So it's basically you're doing, again, to use the term, functional, but you're doing work, basically, and you're doing it for the sake of competition, so...
Mike, didn't you say that you were going to be maybe entering a strongman competition?
Yes, I was very interested in the competition that Shane had posted on Instagram.
Tell me about that competition.
The
one in August?
August?
Yes,
Aaron West is hosting for the fifth year Michigan Strongest Man, which is held in Frankenmuth, Michigan. Aaron runs some of the best contests, best MC, best promoter. Around as far as I'm concerned, and his shows never disappoint every year. So,
and this is your comeback show, right, Shane?
Yep, that'll be my my first competition back since shoulder surgery in December. So,
well, everybody's pulling for you. We actually can't wait to see it, Shane.
Oh yeah.
So, and I also can't wait to see. Mike, how serious are you about this?
I'm very serious. I wanted to talk to Shane off air about it because I'm about 260, kind of deciding between should I, you know, lose 30 pounds and compete in the lightweight novice or not have an extra thing to worry about and just stay at 260 and you know, play the cards how they are.
But Mike's one of these guys who is, by strictest sense, a novice. But he's going to go in and absolutely destroy it. And everybody's going to be like, what the hell is this dude doing competing as a novice? But he's never touched any strongman implements at all?
No.
Yes, whatever you do, just make sure that we don't end up in the same class.
You don't, you know, like, people who haven't been to this gym, like I said, you hear all of us on the air, and we're actually pretty nice people, but if you actually see some of these people, it's funny because, like, you come into this gym, and you see the people, and you actually know the people, and everybody's great, and everybody's, you know, kind and courteous to everybody else, and you're kind of shrouded by this kind of mystique because, like, that's all you surround yourself with are these huge, massive people. And then when you go somewhere else and you see people normal, you're like, oh, man, I'm kind of bigger than that person. Hey, maybe I'm bigger than that person. And then you see other people and you're like, wow, you forget how skewed your whole perception is. So that's kind of what some of these gyms are.
Too, not just how people look, it's how strong they are.
Yeah.
Too. So depending on where you go, like you were saying before, like at, you know, at a Y or whatever, and that's fine. Nothing, you know, it's like who you train with, it skews your perspective on how strong you are, I think.
And even
for good or bad.
Yeah.
You know?
And even everyday things, like there have been several times, whether it's at work or helping somebody move. Like cardio isn't my strong point, but there have been times I'm helping someone move a couch or, you know, and we'll go 15, 20 feet, and that person's like, oh, I got to put it down on tight. And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is the lightest couch. So it's funny how, like you say, a lot of that carries over into real world, and you get a skewed perception, like you said, of how strong you really are.
And then, Greg, you know, we were talking about, like, you being at the Y. Like, I remember when Mike and I used to train over at Gold's Gym. Like, we were just, you know, like, we were powerlifters, and we were training and whatnot. And, you know, you don't realize how strong you are because in Gold's you're the strongest person there and whatnot. Then I went over from Gold's to Detroit Barbell. Holy shit. Like, you know, you're talking 900-pound benchers and you're talking like 1,000-pound squatters and you're talking like all these incredibly strong people. And then before, my idea of being strong was being able to bench 315. Like there, if you put 315 on the bar, they weren't even looking at you
like
to spot
opener.
You. Yeah, that's not even an opener. That's a warm up. Yeah, that's 40%, you know?
That's a close grip bench press accessory move.
Behind the neck, and you know, whatever.
It's humbling, though, which is,
it is.
I don't know, I think that's a good thing sometimes. So.
Don't want to be the big fish in a small pond.
Exactly.
Yep.
The strongest person there is probably about time to find a new gym.
That's
Thank
true.
You. Exactly.
That's true. Well, you're not going to find, like, you're not going to be the strongest person here. There's... It's amazing because everybody's got their own specialty here, too, so it's pretty cool. Shane, can you tell me, or Jen, can you tell me, what do strongman competitions look like?
Shane, you can take this one.
Okay. Well, if you're putting together a strongman competition, and like we said, the variety of it is the draw. So based on the promoter, sometimes it can be a max effort lift. Sometimes it can be total number of reps in a minute, so that's why the training is constantly varied. So, but every competition has a press movement. It's going to have a pull, a deadlift. It's going to have a carry, whether it's a sandbag or a keg, and it's going to have a grip movement. So, those four things you're going to see at every
load too, right?
At each one of your competitions. So, it's promoter's choice as to which way they do it, but.
They're usually really well, like Shane said, really well-rounded, like strength, and then also endurance.
How do you train for both? I mean, as a power lifter, I know, like, I train for maximum strength. So I do maximum strength movements, and then I'll do, like, a repetition, and then I'll do, like, you know, sets of five, that type of thing. I obviously do a certain type of periodization across between, like, conjugate and linear. But how do you do that for strongmen? Because you're training for endurance. You're training for, you know, cardiovascular endurance. You're training for strength. You're training for absolute strength. How do you do that? How does that programming work?
Well, that's how what makes Jen's four-week prep even that more impressive. Because right now with Aaron just announcing Michigan's Strongest Man, that's 10 weeks out. And I was kind of panicking about only being 10 weeks out and being able to train for it. So that's how I usually try to step back at least 12 weeks, and then based on, you know, whether it's a max rep movement or max effort movement, and set my training based on that.
Now, do they tell you, like, before, like, it, like, again, I'm not certain about strongman competition. Did they tell you what lifts are going to be in the competitions beforehand?
Yep.
And what to train for?
I say that very definitively. I have seen some competitions. There was one held in West Virginia in February that was basically, there's going to be 5 events. We're not telling you what they are. Basically, show up and be a badass, and we'll tell you when you get there, yeah. which seems really cool, but also seems like I'd probably hurt myself again. But for the most part, 95% of the time, you're going to know the events, and whether it's a max effort or a max rep or a cardio type of event.
It depends, like, how far in advance they'll release that. Sometimes they'll release the events, but not the weights until later.
Okay.
Or another fun game sometimes promoters like to play is change it up at the last second. So you arrive that day.
Dicks. Bunch of dicks.
But no, some people, for them, it's like it's just part of your dues, you know. If you're going to compete in strongman, you got to be prepared for anything. So they'll change up. You know, it might still be a press, but they're going to change up, you know, log for reps in a minute to max log. Or they're going to change it up to a keg press or something.
And a couple years ago at Mount Pleasant, Aaron West did, there were probably 6 or 8 guys that cut. I myself cut 18 pounds to make lightweight.
In how many days?
About 3 days.
Shit.
So there were a ton of guys.
In a day.
Yeah. There were a ton of guys who cut 15, 20 pounds. Aaron got wind of it. So at the rules meeting, so literally half an hour before the show starts, he upped the weights for everything based on the fact he basically said you guys want to cut weight to try to, you know, get into a lower class. Now everything just went up, so the guys who didn't cut the weight were pretty pissed at the rest of us, but that's the type of thing that's, you know, promoter's choice, and if he wants to do it, he can do it. And
exactly.
The old school guys will tell you that's strongman, that's the way it is. Yep. So it's not another difference between powerlifting and strongman is, with powerlifting, we all know
you got three lifts.
You can show up and say, you've got 3 lifts. If you want to start at 95 pounds, start at 95 pounds. Whereas strongman, they're like, here's the weight. Either pick it up or shut up.
There's definitely something primal about that. There's something primal about, like, being able to pick up something and being able to lift something. Something like, like Mike was talking about last podcast, you know, we don't have to run from big cats anymore. Or we don't have to, you know, fight for our food really anymore. But, you know...
It gets pretty bad around here when you've got Girl Scout cookies.
And we just
and
ate
things.
A whole bag of Swedish fish. Swedish fish.
So Jen comes in from Wisconsin, and she always brings us goodies. So we got a case full of beer now, or a cooler full of beer. We got Swedish fish. Jen works for the Girl Scouts.
Gummy night crawlers.
Yeah, gummy bears, night crawlers.
The dust, though, right?
Yeah, those are gone.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, we have a chewed up bone here, and I'm not sure if one of us did it. So, but quick question, though. I do have a question, Shane. Like, you injured your shoulder bench pressing, right?
Pick that scab, Chuck.
Yeah, yes, I'm just checking it out. I want to talk about it. You were bench pressing for a powerlifting meet, right?
I was at Relentless last year doing the powerlifting meet for Relentless, and I'd had once I went in and got my MRI and X-rays, I'd had an old football injury, a fracture of my shoulder that went untreated, that the doctor picked up on, and it was making my tendons stretch more than they should have already, so I like blaming it on bench press just to give JJ a hard time, but it was bound to happen no matter what it's going to do. So
I would say almost every strongman competitor I know has torn a pec.
Do strongman bench?
As an accessory,
yeah.
Yes, but I've seen one competition in my 6-7 years of competing that ever had a bench press, and it was a log.
Yeah.
It was a log, a flat bench, but with a log. So. I've never seen a bench press in a strongman competition.
I know plenty of strongmen that don't. They'll press light. They'll do their bench light because they don't want to risk any injury again.
Okay. So
they don't ego lift that.
So when you guys are doing your strongman competitions, it's all overhead pressing, right?
Right. Correct.
Okay. So do you, in order to train your overhead press, I'm curious. I mean, obviously you overhead press. You do heavy tricep work. I'm sure you do. Give me some other things that you use for training your overhead press.
I'll use a lot of incline, a lot of, and like I said, with triceps. I do a lot of lockouts.
Okay.
I do a lot of overhead lockout carries.
So when you're doing lockouts, what, tell me what you would do exactly.
I either use a yoke or put it up in a rack so that it's basically a 4 or 5 inch range of motion. So it's just the very top lockout portion of the lift.
Okay.
The overhead.
Do you find that carries over to your bench press? Or if you were to bench press, I mean, I don't know if you do anymore, but do you find, like, if you press, that carries over for your bench press, too?
I'm sure it would, just because that's a ton of triceps, so I'm sure it would carry on.
Yep, I'm pretty certain that it would. I know a lot of times whenever, like, as a power lifter, when I would try and get my press up, the more overhead pressing I got, the stronger I got on my overhead press, the stronger my bench press became, and I believe that's due to lockout.
Well, that or your back.
Yep.
I think because I train my upper back a lot for my overhead, that was a weak point, so I focused for months on getting stronger and my overhead static strength there. And so, yeah, a lot of upper back work, and that's going to transfer to bench.
I like that. And the reason that it transfers to bench are dual fold. One of the reasons that it transfers to bench is the like if your upper back gets larger and your upper back gets tighter and more muscular, that's less room that the bar has to travel. So, and it also works as a stabilizer. So it's a more stable base for you to actually push off of when you're bench pressing. And so if your upper back gets bigger, obviously people are training here, yeah. but if your upper back gets tighter and the more you're able to create tension in that upper back, more musculature, less range of motion, and you can drive off that upper back. So a thick upper back helps almost any athlete and any competitor.
Well, I think that just reinforces the fact that most of the big lifts are full body lifts. You know, the bench is not just your pecs.
Yep.
It's not, you know, your overhead is not just your shoulders. You know, squats are not just your legs, deadlifts are not just your back. I mean, these are all full body lifts if you do them, and you're going to be better at it if you learn that.
I have a question for you, Greg. Excuse me. I don't know what's going on. We'll edit this part, Scott. What's going on?
Whoa.
Hey. What the, hold on,
nope.
Time.
What
the
fuck?
All right, welcome back to the second podcast of Strength at Positions. We kind of had an emergency. There's always something going on here at the gym.
Not like this, though.
Not like this, but we have a bunch of interesting characters for sure. But we had a member, LT, and he was walking out. He was waving to us, and he's like, hey, bye, guys. Take it easy. And, you know, I'm behind a counter, and plus I'm short. I can't see over it. And as I'm, like, everybody's, like, going, oh, my gosh, what's going on with LT? What's going on? We look over, and he's fallen over. This just happened literally 15, 20 minutes ago. He started falling over and as he was walking. So we went running to try and get him and try and get him on the ground. He's diabetic. And so what happened was his blood sugar was, like, notoriously low. So we didn't know he was trying to get candy out of his car. And we're trying to get him on the ground, tackling him to try and get him safe. And he's just like, I got to get out to my car. He's not saying why because he can't verbalize it. And, you know, like, we tried to get him on the ground. We had paramedics.
Strong dude.
Yeah, he's a massive dude. We have paramedics and the ambulance here and everybody else here. And then we got Steve, who walks by, our intern, or the intern here. He walks in, sees paramedics, sees ambulance, sees fire, looks at it, doesn't even miss a gate, goes, huh, and keeps walking. I've been a nurse for almost 9 years, and I've never seen anything like that. Yeah, like I think he's ordered pizza for us now, so that's good. At least we got pizza out of the deal. Yeah, and the police come, and Shane's like, "Hey, you want to check out my gym? You guys got to see this. You think that's cool? Check this shit out."
They're both coming to class Tuesday night.
Squad class.
So, but never a dull moment here. Never a dull moment at all. But.
It's such a great place. We even save each other's lives.
And then have them buy pizza for you. So, anyways, we were talking about strongman. We were talking about, like, the differences in between, like, you know, powerlifters bench press and strongman do overhead press and that type of thing and how that stuff kind of translates. And then we were talking about the events. We mentioned something about the conditioning. So there's endurance, there's, you know, like you have walks, you have carries, you have all these implementations. A lot of people call that metabolic conditioning. How important is the conditioning and endurance to strongman? Because, again, powerlifting is absolute strength. It's like, you know, 3 seconds, 6 seconds, and that's what it is. But you guys are doing these events for 90 seconds or so, right?
Right.
So how do you train for that?
A lot of it is going to be event-specific training.
Okay.
You can go on a rower, you can go on a bike, you can run for endurance and be in great cardio shape. But if you're carrying a 250-pound sandbag and it's on your chest, it's going to be a hell of a lot harder to breathe while you're doing this cardio, or a 90-foot run or a 60-foot run. So
there's a difference between conditioning and then loaded conditioning, mm-hmm. or cardio under load, or whatever you want to call it.
Okay, Greg, you used to do, you've done jiu-jitsu, correct?
Correct.
Okay, you've done jiu-jitsu, you've done Highland Games, you're doing powerlifting, and so you've done a wide variety of strength sports. How does your conditioning for, like, something that's like, where jiu-jitsu, where you have to have some sort of endurance due to grappling, yep. and whatnot, how does that compare to what you're doing now for powerlifting?
It really doesn't even compare. It's more kind of like, you know, what Shane was saying about the conditioning you have for that. You can't condition yourself for another human being on top of you pushing the air out of you, and that's the goal.
Okay.
The goal is to make that person as uncomfortable as possible and take away their space, and till they have to stick something out or make a move wrong to where you can get a hold of them and finish the match. So there's really no way to do that. The only way to do that, it's rolling. You got to roll. You got to be in the gym. You got to be doing it. You got to be doing it all the time. The same thing for them. They have to practice their events. You have to practice the keg carry. If your keg's this, if Jen knows her keg's going to be an 80-pound keg or 120-pound, she's got to carry that keg. There's nothing else you can do in the gym that's going to even come close to replicating that. If you got to carry a sandbag, you got to do that. You just got to do that exercise. Where we don't, as powerlifters, don't have to necessarily do that. You know, we can train a multitude of different things. We can do the conjugate. We can do different things. And we don't even have to do our competition list, but every couple of weeks if we don't want to.
Right.
You know, where they have to do that.
Because we're lazy fuckers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's more fun. But no, it's same thing with jiu-jitsu. You know, you have to be, you have to have that constant pressure. You have to be doing it. I mean, you could do drills. We do drills, you know, for half an hour in the beginning of the class every time. And it was really nothing. It's just to kind of get your blood warmed up or whatever. But then as soon as you start rolling, then you know. And I would have guys in there all the time, you know, hey, you know, I can do it. And I'm like, okay, we'll see. You know, I can run miles, you know. I'm like, well, it's a totally different cardio than when someone's, you know, putting your knees behind your ears, you know, and they're 250 pounds. You know, it's a little different.
Jokes
you can't
aside.
Breathe. Yeah, all jokes aside. I mean, you can't breathe. You physically can't breathe, and you're ready to, you don't know what to do.
What's the Mike Tyson quote? That everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face, right?
Exactly, yeah. And that's it, too. Everybody has a plan until someone's got their arms wrapped around your neck and they're squeezing the life out of you. You know, and you can't replicate that in the gym. You have to do it on the event, and the same thing they have to do.
Yeah, that's what they say, train the event. That's the best way to do it.
So, Mike, you trained a lot for football, right? Like, when you were in high school, you did a lot of football conditioning.
Yeah.
So you've seen these guys train for strongman, and you've trained for powerlifting and bodybuilding. How does football differ from that type of an endurance type of training?
Well, like, with football and the endurance type of training, it wasn't as sport-specific. It was just kind of like, you know, get out there and run. It wasn't the focus on form. It wasn't the focus on kind of getting your breath. It's kind of like sink or swim, where, like, when I was in track also, and it was actually, like, less running in track as far as, like conditioning-wise, because it was more so about you getting your form down right, your, you know, and your gait and all the things that you're supposed to focus on with that. But with football, it's, like, you know, many different facets of it, with the explosion and those lifts and with the cleans and deadlifts.
Yeah. That's, you know what, like as far as for, like, strongman, like, I don't have any semblance. The only thing I know about strongman is what I see in this gym. And I have to say, it's something that is quite appealing to me. I mean, just the idea of, you know, being able to carry things, the idea of doing, you know, pressing movements, the idea of doing, just picking up something from the ground. I mean, it kind of piques my interest, and, you know, I have to say, Shane, it's something that I probably see in my future, because I think what's been going on for me is the powerlifting. Powerlifting is awesome, and I love this sport, but from doing the same motion over and over and over again, the repetitive motion, for 30 years, ergonomically, it's been kind of, you know, it's been hurting my joints lately. So I kind of like the idea of being able to do different types of strength and being able to translate into different types of strength, only because it's just, I mean, it's real world. I mean, it's something that you can apply in the real world. Like, you're carrying a couch, you're lifting up something for, you know, you're bringing something in from that you bought that you can't move. You're cutting down wood. I mean, it's all stuff that.
Yeah, you're always going to be asked to help your friend move.
Yeah, we all are. Anybody big is asked that, right?
Yeah, you always are going to carry all your groceries in one trip.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you have to. That's kind of a given.
Well, for me personally, like I've always like just trained in the gym. I never, besides like football, it was never like a focus. There was never something to train for. I've never competed in a meet, strongman or powerlifting. And, you know, I want that, I have that desire to, you know, train towards something, to have a focus, to have a goal, instead of not like aimlessly wandering in the gym, but, you know, set forth the goal and strive for it and throw yourself out there and compete.
And I've said 100 times, you could show up to a strongman event, and even if you zero an event, you know, people aren't going to laugh at you. People aren't, you know, you're going to be accepted regardless. However, at the same time, if you know you're doing an event, you know, you've got that focus, and that's what you want to train, and that's what, because you don't want to be the one to go out there and zero an event, because everybody's watching you. You know, you typically go one person at a time, and you got your friends out there, your training partners out there. You don't want to be the one that doesn't get a rep or that can't do something. So
you don't want to be the weakest link.
Right.
So, like, when you're carrying everything, like, I've said this on multiple episodes of Advices, and I've talked to Scott about it. Like, weight translates into your body from the floor, into your hips, into your core. So, you know, whether you're holding something, your core has to be tight. And I don't like the actual, like, I don't like the name core, because I think it, like, just, you know, connotates like the abs and the lower back. It's not true. I mean, the core is the center of your body. It's the posterior chain, it's your glutes, it's your hamstrings, from your neck on down. So how important to you, in as far as for your training implementation, and you've mentioned it already once, Jen, with the upper back, like, how important is training your core for these strongman implementations, and do you specifically train for that, or do you use, like, your sport in let's say, the apparatus that you're using, whether it be a carry, do you use that to train your core, or do you specifically target that?
So, I do all the major lifts, which, mm-hmm. Like I said before, they're all, like, full-body lifts, so I try really hard to engage.
Like what? Give me some of your full-body lifts that you're doing.
So,
I'm curious.
Like squat.
Okay.
Well, I'm talking like even regular lifts. So squat in the contusion that I bench, not very often. I'll get real tight, so mm-hmm. I'll make sure my core is tight. But I don't. I'll throw in some core exercises every once in a while. But I really just train it doing events.
Okay.
Like I said, like loaded carries, and then all the major lifts.
Okay. And I think the events in strongman force you to do. I don't do abs. I don't do anything. But however, when you're doing, you're carrying a 700-pound yoke, and you're keeping your hips underneath you, you're keeping your stomach braced, you're training core, using my quote fingers.
Yeah.
You're training the entire, like you said, from your neck down to your abs, your posterior chain. Like, you do a heavy yoke, and you're gonna be sore in that entire area the next day.
You need to be braced completely. It's mm-hmm. the same, though, like, setting up for your deadlift, and your squat, and your breathing, and your brace.
Chris Duffin talks a lot about his bracing. Bracing is a big thing for him, and his breathing. And he said that you always have to be ready to get hit in the gut.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, Rob was just saying that to me tonight.
Yep.
We were deadlifting. Yep.
You always have to be ready to get hit in the gut. And if you're not ready to get hit in the gut, you're not tight enough.
Well, that probably translates to MMA, too. Or, yeah.
So, like, how important was it, like, in MMA and jiu-jitsu for you, like, just to have, like, that strong core and be able to transfer that power?
Very much so. So, we do a lot of exercises where, breathing exercises, because that's not something people are normally used to. So I would do a lot of exercises with the guys where they would lean it,
back up against the wall, put their butts against the wall, let their legs spread out, and put their arms up over their heads, and they would breathe. And I would make them take small, shallow breaths, keep their core, their abs tight, and take small, shallow breaths through their chest. People don't do that.
Right.
But you have to learn to do that because you have somebody on top of you. And if I'm on top of you and I have a knee in your stomach, eventually you're not going to be able to breathe unless you're able to still maintain your breath and keep your core tight. These guys have to do that carrying stuff all the time. So it kind of translates the same way.
You know what I think? And I kind of like the idea, this just came to me. Like, if you think about, MMA and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it's real-world stuff. It's things that are important in real-world life. Power or strongman is kind of the same thing. So it's things that are important to, help with your ADLs, your activities of daily living. It accelerates it. It makes it better, right? In Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, same thing. You're learning a functional kind of strength. Same thing with, power or strongman. Same thing, a functional type of strength. Powerlifting is an expression of absolute strength in three lifts. So we just need to make that kind of, connection here. So powerlifting is your three lifts, deadlift, bench press, and squat. Yeah, thanks, Shane. I'm a great powerlifter, folks. throwing rings. No, but it's an extension of it's absolute strength. It's just displaying absolute strength, whereas strongman is actually displaying it functionally and displaying it in a movement and displaying it like we would normally if we were, like we said, Mike, a farmer, right?
Right.
Do you know any farmers, Mike?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. There's not a lot of farmers anymore in this world.
At least these neck of the woods.
Do you? Oh, yeah. That's Jen's from Wisconsin.
Yeah, but they actually are powerlifters. So.
Of course they are. Or offensive linemen, right?
Oh, no. The ones I know strong. Are powerlifters.
Country strong, yeah. So I know, in powerlifting, and again, I can only gauge it from my understanding of it. In powerlifting, we're training the three lifts, and then we have accessory movements, too. Like, as far as for training in strongman, are you essentially training the events, or are you also training, your hips and, you're training your hips, you're training your core, that type of a thing, but what kind of exercises are extremely important for you when you're training for strongman?
If I'm not training for a specific contest,
okay.
You do your main lifts like Jim had talked about. I always squat, I always bench, I always deadlift.
Mm-hmm.
But even beyond that, on event training days, I always do stones.
Event training days, how often do you do event training days a week?
I just do one day a week, usually okay. Saturdays. If I'm training for a specific contest, sometimes I'll break them up just so you're not doing, five events in one day. So I'll break them up into two and three. But I always do stones just because I love stones, and I always do some variation of a carry, whether it's a keg or a sandbag.
What's your biggest stone you've carried?
The biggest stone I've loaded is a 330.
Okay.
I just recently purchased a 350 stone because we had a 330 and a 375 here.
Mm-hmm.
The 330 I can do for reps, and the 375 humbled me on many occasions, so I just bought a 350 that I'm going to. Once I start getting back into stones, I'm going to load.
Nice.
But I always do some kind of a farmer's carry because mm-hmm. that hits, grip and absolute strength. And then I love doing yoke just because, like I said, that's a full central nervous system just blaster. You'll do yoke and you'll wake up with sore traps and abs and glutes. And
do you have a hard time sleeping after you do that?
I don't have
like
a hard time.
Yeah.
I don't have a hard time sleeping anywhere.
You do have a hard time.
Yeah, any type of especially singles, triples, I'll
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the other thing, too, though, I think is, you can train your CNS, right? So, if you guys are hitting all this constantly and you're constantly getting, your CNS doesn't heighten up that much because you're already using all these muscles. Whereas, a power lifter, if they're training, 90%, 100%, they're doing their absolute strength. Okay, finally, that's stimming our CNS because we don't always have to do that. So, again, it's just something that's a nice comparison, I feel. So, if Shane or Jen or anybody, how would somebody get involved in strongman? If I wanted to start a meet and I wanted to go to a meet and I wanted to check it out and I wanted to be a strongman, how would I start?
You'd find a really cool gym.
Like what? Do you know any?
I mean, there are a few around. The first one that comes to mind is Strength Depot.
I heard about that place. Huh.
Great people. there are basically two governing bodies, United States Strongman and then Strongman Corp. Both have their own websites and with events, you know,
Facebook
upcoming
groups.
Events, yeah, Facebook groups. There's also startingstrongman.com, which again is on Facebook, and you can go and ask questions, and they have a...
They have an app, too. Starting Strongman is an app.
Nice, okay.
And a gym locator on there.
So. Are we on there?
Yes.
Yep.
Nice.
I think all of my locations are on there from as far back as my garage.
Well, Kale might need to do some maintenance
Kale needs to go back. And then, like I said, it's... Anybody can do it. Everybody's very welcoming. There's always a novice division in each one. And I encourage everybody to do it at least one time.
Yeah.
I'm hosting an event, in case people didn't know that, September 30th, back in my hometown in Montpelier, Ohio. It is called Battle of the Borders, because it's on the border of Ohio, Michigan, and Indiana.
Dun, dun, dun.
And at that event, we are going to crown a under 82 kilogram world champion.
Awesome.
Men's world champion. So that's going to be the top 10 lightweight men, which is, for those who speak in freedom units, that's 181 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So the top 10 at U.S. Strongman Nationals are going to get an invite, and then there's going to be 10 over international invites also. So
unreal. Yep. I can't wait. We're all going to go to that, so we're all excited about that.
But the
Facebook
Battle
of the Borders, though, is women and men.
Okay.
Right.
The
pro show is for men, the lightweight men.
Okay. I got a question for actually all of you, and I kind of want everybody to answer it. My question is, we've all done strength sports, and we've all done, the physical, we've all done, some sort of physical thing that we knew that we couldn't do before. How did that translate as far as for your not just your physical, but your mental and emotional state? I'm curious, how did that change you?
That's what I was kind of going to say, is we talked about the physical, we haven't even tapped, the mental end of this game, any of it.
Right.
So, I don't know if we have time.
Yeah, no. I mean, well, I have time.
I mean that can be a show in itself. But
I know.
I just want an answer to that question.
I'm going to go away from myself and my own personal experience with that. And when I was training people out of my garage, there was a woman, Laura Green was her name. I met her at the Livonia Rec Center, where I used to go do some of my auxiliary movements. And she was a 2-time breast cancer survivor, just outgoing, one of those people who just hugs everybody and loves everybody in the room, and just a real great individual. And she came up to me and said she's bored by this kind of training, was talking to me, and I said, well, I do some strongman stuff out of my garage. And she said, yep, absolutely. I think at the time, she's going to kill me if she hears this, but she was probably mid-50s or so.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, yep, I went in. And she came over, and it was, me and my friends, and then here's this 55-year-old woman doing, block pulls and farmer's carries. And that was when it kind of opened my eyes that, and she was one of the first ones to jump up. Usually, I try to tell everybody they can do strongman, and most women at the time were like, no, I don't want to. And Laura was the first one that said, I want to do that. And she saw the Atlas stones in my garage and goes, I want to do that. So she was like the first one that, and the first time she did it, and here's a woman who's overcome cancer 2 different times, she ain't afraid of shit. So she picked up this Atlas stone and loaded it and turned around and looked at me with the biggest smile on her face and the biggest sense of accomplishment. And I just, it made my day. So that was something that, and I tried getting more and more people involved. I held a couple women's only seminars and did a women's only competition a few years ago. So that was big for me.
Mike, how about you? How do you think training's helped you as far as for mentally or emotionally, or can you give me an example of anybody?
Tough times, but the first example that I can think of is not me personally, but your son. Seeing him carrying those, the farmer carries that one day, and him getting, maybe about 10 feet away from the end and him wanting to quit. I mean, everything in him, he's tired, exhausted, hurting, crying, and he found the strength, the courage, the fortitude to make it that last little bit. And you can see, that carry over to his track meet, his first track meet.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, especially like the big events he ran, like the 400 is not a, you know, that's a serious race.
Yeah.
You know, and for him to go out his first time and kick ass in it, and like my first time, I died in the 400, like completely died. Like, I was not prepared for it.
What did you say you did in the 400?
Well, the coach tells me, you know, go out there and sprint the whole thing. You know, it's a sprinting, man. It's a sprinting race. So I go out like a haul ass take off. You know, after about 300 meters, the bear jumps on my back, and about the last 100 meters, it's screw this, I am walking. And I walked there, like, and he never put me in it again, ever.
How about you, John? Like, how do you think it's changed you? Like, what do you? There's a million examples, but just give me one specific. We'll do another show on the mental part of training, because I think it's a great thing to invest into, but just give me an example.
Yeah, I mean, like everybody else has said, it helped me learn that I can dig deep and I can push myself, and I can tell, like, tonight I missed two pulls that I've gotten before, and I know I quit on them, you know, and that's because I didn't have my head in the game, I didn't push myself.
It sticks in your head right now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it bothers me a lot, you know. And so, and we've all talked about this too, is like, even just lifting, and there's something, it's like therapy, you know, just coming in here and pushing stuff around. And it's not always, you know, you don't always perform at your best or whatever, but that helps too, though, you know. Like, the more that happens, the more I fail, you know, it helps me learn to get over it and learn from it. And
I think Thomas Edison said, because I think it took him 6,000 tries to invent the light bulb. He said, I didn't fail 6,000 times. I figured out 6,000 ways to make a light bulb.
So this definitely, like what she just said, hits home for me, because I'm completely in my head right now with my deadlift. Like, I've talked to you personally about it, and you know, and not being in the right position, not having, you know, my scapula directly over the bar, things being in line. And, you know, I'm completely in my head about it. And like she said, pissed off. And you know, you got to find ways around it. You got to, you know, get out of your head and get the job done.
How about you, Greg? Give me an example.
I'm kind of with Mike on that whole deadlift thing right now. But I had some major setbacks as far as my numbers go. I'm kind of just stuck in a holding pattern. My squat's been going good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it helps. But I think for me, a couple of the biggest things is, like, you know, Mike was saying about your son, you know, like my kids, you know, I have two that are, I have my oldest son's out west, and he is that typical power lifter. He started out bodybuilding, and then he's now powerlifting, and he's got great numbers. I mean, he's 21 years old.
Yep.
He's going to compete at 198. He's going to go for Utah state record as this goal. He's got huge numbers. You don't want to ask him to help carry a couch. better off doing it yourself.
Right.
But anyway, watching him, it's inspiring to me, you know. And then having Colin in here, my other son, he's on the border autistic spectrum.
Okay.
And how excited he gets when he makes a big pull is huge, you know.
You know, you're talking to a whole bunch of people who are like everybody in this group that's with us today. We're all fathers or mothers, or, you know, we all have like something that we want to pass on to our kid. And Dave Tate has a motto: live, learn, and pass on. And that's kind of where we're all at. You're that way with Mason. You're that way with your kids, Jen. Mike's the same way. You are, Greg. And like you, I get emotional because, like, my son is, you know, is my life too. And like, you've heard me on Advices, probably every single episode of Advices, you've heard me talk about my son Ben. And because he's what I strive to be, like, I want to be like my son. And you know, it's kind of the other way around a lot of times, because like, you know, you always want, you know, your kids to be like you. I want to be like him. I want to be good and kind and decent. And I want to have, like, and this is no joke, I'll sit here in the gym sometimes and I'll have to either deadlift, and I'm dealing with injuries right now. So I'll sit here and I'll think of Ben doing that farmer walk, or Ben, like, you know, doing that race, and he's running the 200 or he's running the 400, and there's no fucking quit. There's nothing. He gives not a fucking inch. And the thing is that's what it is. That's what life's about. You can't give a fucking inch. And I think that's what this epitomizes, like the strength of character and the strength of the mental strength that I see in him. I want to be, and I'm 44 years old, and I know I'm not as strong as that kid. Just like I know, like, we all feel the same way about our kids. So we're all sitting here. We're a bunch of grown adults sitting here crying like babies right now. Every last one of us have tears in our eyes. And speaking of real world strength, we had Shane talked about it a couple times. He talked about a little girl named Alicia. And I mean, we might as well talk about it.
Yeah, you got me on the verge of here. So yeah. Yeah, push me off the cliff, Chuck. Dick. So yeah, I told this story the first time I was on with Scott and Chuck, but this was I met Alicia at it was a Relentless Strongman meet, which benefited the powerlifting meet. So that was 3.5 years ago or so. I apologize for people who've heard this story, but I'm going to go through it again.
None of your stories ever get old, Shane.
I know, and I've got plenty. So it was 3.5 years ago. I'm going through a divorce. I'm in a bad place. Just, you know, she always in a bad mood. Boo-hoo, the world hates me. What I do wrong? And we're at the strongman meet. They bring out Alicia and her mom, and they introduce them, and I'm admitting to being a dick here. Half listening, they introduce him. I give an obligatory clap, like, "Hey, who's this?" And so I've got five people with me that I'm coaching on my team, and I'm standing there talking to them. And all of a sudden, I feel these arms wrap around me, about torso high. And I turn around, it's this little girl with this huge smile on her face, and I'm like, "Oh, hey, what's up?" And she goes, "I love your shoes," because I had a pair of purple Chuck Taylors on. And she goes, I've been looking for this color. I can't find them. So I end up talking to her. And at the time, her hair she'd just gone through chemo. Her hair was starting to grow back, but you could tell that, you know.
She was 10 at the time? How old at the time?
No, this was 3 years ago. So she's about 13.
Okay.
13 and a half. And then sitting here talking to her, and I was getting ready to do stones. So I had tacky on my hands, and I said, "Hey, it's nice to meet you." Went over, did stones, came back, and I had my dog with me, of course, and Apollo barks at me, and I said, "You be quiet," and Alicia looks at me and goes, "That's your dog?" And I go, "Yeah," and she runs up and gives me another huge hug, and she goes, "I love pit bulls, like, you're the coolest person ever." So I, you know, sit there and talk to her, and I just, in the first 20 minutes that I met her, here's this little girl who'd just been through chemo, and I can't imagine anything worse. And she just lit up my world. Like, we took a bunch of pictures together, we played with the dog, I got to know her and her family. And getting to know her over the years, I'm still very close with her, just kind of completely changed my outlook. I went from, being this grumpy, poor me, to things could be a hell of a lot worse. So that's definitely one thing in the sport that has basically turned my life around. I tell her that all the time, but it was really a big moment for me.
Well, the reason I wanted to talk about Alicia is I actually talked to Shane about trying to get Alicia on. I think I would love to do, if everybody's okay with it, I'd love to do an Advices Radio with Alicia, because if you want to talk somebody who's strong, who has real world strength, who is just one of the strongest people that anybody's ever met, Alicia would be it. So I'd really like to hear her story, and I'd like everybody to hear it from her.
The only problem with having her on is that she will definitely call us out. And every time I've done any kind of event, she's the first one to be like, "Are you crying? Are you a big baby?" I last year took her to one of her last chemo treatments.
Yeah.
Down at Children's Hospital. So we go in. She's sitting there getting ready to have the have the chemo injected. She's got a port in her chest, of course. So I go to the front part of the room. They pull the curtain. From all she's told me, it's not super painful. So they're getting ready to do it. I'm on the other side of the curtain, and she just goes, "Are you crying?" She can't see me. She's like, I'm on the other side of the curtain, and here I'm wiping my eyes, going, "No, I'm not crying." And she's
shut up.
So yeah. she's getting chemo put into her, and she's worried. She's like, "Are you crying?" So all she wanted to do was bust my balls because I was on the other side of the curtain crying. But it's pretty funny. But yeah, seeing these kids go through this, like, we have a big deadlift and we think we're strong, but you, I could never imagine going through half the stuff that they go through.
Absolutely not. And so I'd love to have Alicia on. If maybe you can talk to Alicia.
Yep.
I would love to see if maybe we could get her on and get her in the gym too. Has she seen the new gym, Shane?
No, nope, she hasn't seen this location.
She's nope. Got to. She's got to. I think that's about it for today. We've all talked about stuff, and we've seen somebody...
Pizza's here.
We've seen somebody have almost go into a diabetic coma. We've all cried like an absolute babies. And I think that's a wrap today. So on behalf of Shane and Jen and Greg and Mike... I appreciate all of you guys coming here, and thank you very much, and thanks for listening, and look out for the next episode of Strength Depositions. Thanks for listening, and beer and bourbon and pizza are on the way. So have a great day, guys. But get us respected. At best we were stressed. At the worst they probably said were pathetic. Had all the pieces to that puzzle, just no way to connect it. I was fighting through every rhyme, tightening up every line, never resting the question if I was out of my mind. It finally came time to do it or let it die. So we put the chips on the table and told them to let it ride. Singing, yeah. Together we made it. You see, we did it. We made it even though we had our backs up against the wall. Come on. Forever we waited, and they told us we were never gonna get it, but we took it on the road, on the road.
Advices Radio Network.